Okay, all right. Okay, I want to first of all, before we begin, is that wishes of Mazel Tov to Zoya and Evan on their recent engagement. Zoya already has the rock, okay, which is very good. And we wish you much, much hatzlacha, many, many years of happiness together, and achas for all of us. Okay, so the question is as follows. My question for you is as follows. We all know the story of Megillas Esther, right? Anybody not know the story?
I don't know the story behind the story.
What? You know the story. New more sheets? You read it every year. No, these are mine. They're floating. Yeah. So, I mean, more or less, the story is, right, Jewish people going to be destroyed, and then they're saved miraculously. In a nutshell. Permanent nutshell. So, let's see. Right. So, the question that we have to ask is, what can we learn that's new? What do we learn that's different? As Bradley said, what's the story behind the story? And so, basically, what I'm going to try to do is more or less, how you doing, Mrs. Newman? Mrs. Newman, Zoya got engaged. Zoya. Okay.
Evan also got engaged.
Yeah. Evan is the accessory to the crime. Yeah, okay. Okay, so what's the story behind the story? So I think what I'm going to try to do is do what we do for the Navi. The only difference between this and the rest of the Navi is we're not really as familiar with the normal Navi stories, but I'd like to read through the Psukim and just ask some questions. And ask yourself to be aware of why is the text conveying things, information, why is it conveying it in a certain way. But obviously the literary style of Esther is going to be very different than the Shmuel that we've seen until now. But we're going to ask questions and see if we can come to some understanding based on the questions. The other thing I'm going to share with you, I've decided, is I have this wonderful, wonderful book. It's called Torah Shleima. I'd like to introduce people to this firm that I use. Torah Shleima was a set that was put together by Rav Menachem Kasher. Rav Kasher did not actually print this book because he started at Bereishis and he got through the end of Bamidbar before he died. Rabbi Kasher lived in New York City in Manhattan in the 1900s, in the 20th century. And he was putting together this magnificent set. And if you look inside, you have, I'll just show you, you have the Megillah, the Targum. Targum is the translation of Unkelos. And then you have a zillion midrashim on the bottom with their footnotes. Okay? And the reason why it's so valuable is because it's really a compendium. It's an encyclopedia of midrash on the Megillah. Thank you. Okay. Right. So we're going to spend a lot of time on midrashim to try to see how Chazal understood the Megillah. And it's important to note that when it comes to Megillas Esther, the teachings of Chazal, I would say, are even more important than they are in the Chumash. Not more important, but the word is not more important. More, I would say, more compelling. Can anybody tell me why it would be more compelling, the teachings of Chazal on Esther, than it would be on the Chumash?
The story of Dallas and living Dallas.
The Megillat Esther is also hidden. It's also under the surface.
Right, the Chumash is like so important. The Midrash and the Chumash that we do are so beautiful, so important, you know. Why? The answer is, when did Megillas Esther happen? When and where? What? In Persia and Parashat Madai, Persia, when?
The destruction
of the first temple, after the destruction of the first temple. How much before the period of Chazal, the period of the rabbis? The rabbis also lived during the times of the second temple, especially. So it wasn't that long afterwards. So in order for them to have some tradition and understanding of why it was written and how it was written, it's very easy for it to be passed along. Oh, I heard this from my rabbi, I heard this from my rabbi. And that's it. There's no like generation after generation. There's no, you know, thousands of years ago, what happened to Abraham Avinu? It doesn't have to be a tradition. They know. They really had actual factual information. So their insights into the Megillah are strong, are right on. And they're much more historical sometimes than you might think. Okay. We're going to begin on 12:52. We'll do as we always do. We're going to read through, and then we'll see if we have any questions. You could stop me if you want. Now, the other thing you have to ask yourself is, I mean, there's literally so much to say on Megillas Esther. Is Megillas Esther a book of history, or is it a book of theology? If it's a book of history, then you have to ask yourself, well, what information is included and what information is not included? Why would you say it's a book of history? Right, because it describes what happened to our people. If you say it's a book of theology, then you're left with one important question. What is the important question?
Why is not Hashem mentioned?
Well, God is not mentioned. Well, God, that's the biggest one. There's no mention of God. Where's the theology? Meaning, in Shmuel, it's right there in front of us. Vayash harah b'nei Hashem. Right? You sinned. You didn't do right. You did do right. You did good. You didn't do... There are no judgments made by God or by prophets in the book of Esther.
It's a story.
Right, it's a story. So it seemed, at face value, to be a book of history.
Yeah, but the Jews sinned immediately right after death.
Where? In Esther?
Yeah, it doesn't say that fast because of the calamity coming out.
A calamity. We fast a lot of times because of a calamity. And where do you see the sin? There's no mention of the Jews sinning. Now, we're going to see it today, but no mention of the Megillah. So you have to understand, all of the meat of Megillah's Esther is hidden. Right? Why is it hidden? Why in this book is the theology hidden as opposed to other books in Tanakh? What's different about this book?
It was written by Esther and Mordecai, okay. But they were trying to use it as a parable, not as writing down a history of what had happened without.
What would have been the bad? Why would it anger the king of Ahasuerus to say, and the Jews sinned? And because of their sin, God punished them and brought about almost as near calamity. Would Ahasuerus have been mad? No, he would have seen himself in the... Okay. How is the book of Esther fundamentally different than most other books, almost every other book in the Tanakh?
It's not in Esther.
Correct. It is the book of the exiles. It is one of the two books of the exiles. What's the other one? Anybody know? No? Nobody? What? Daniel. Correct. Book of Daniel.
Was the prophet of the time.
Who was the prophet of the time?
Daniel.
He was the prophet of the time, but this is before. Daniel was during Babel, still in Babylonian times. Persia and Medina, right, the Babylonian Empire didn't last very long, at least historically. Right? It was Babel, then Paras and Madai, and what was the next after them?
Greece.
Correct. All these were very short-lived monarchies, short-lived empires. Right? And then after Greece?
Romans.
Right. Okay. So you have to keep in mind the hidden, what's not being said.
Whatever happened to them?
What happened to the Romans? They lasted a little longer. Vayhi b'nei Achashverosh, it was in the days of Achashverosh. Hu Achashverosh hamolech mehodu b'ad kush, shaba v'ashim umeya medina. That is the Achashverosh who ruled from Hodu to Kush, 127 countries. Okay, everybody, we all know this pasuk by heart, right? Where's Hodu and Kush?
India
to Ethiopia. Oh, no, that's not bad. That would make sense. Hodu Bear Kush. Okay. 127 provinces. So what does that tell us?
Big.
What?
It's
big. How big?
127 provinces big.
127 kingdoms.
Right?
127 kingdoms.
Talk of 127 kingdoms. My question is, what's my frame of reference? Do you understand what I'm saying?
The whole known world.
Is it the whole known world? Is it the whole world?
At the time? Maybe all that was reachable? Or
prove to me that it's not the whole world.
Prove that it's not the whole world?
Right.
They would have said Kol HaOlam.
Correct. It would have said the whole known world. Would have said the entire world. He was the king of the world.
How does one rule over that much territory?
How does one rule with an iron fist? And it's an interesting question. How does one rule over that much territory? You know what the answer to that is?
Strong
iron. One does not. And when one tries to, one ultimately fails. You know, I mean, how strong was the British Empire when it extended itself that far? The problem is when you try to extend your powers too far, when you try to rule the whole world,
well, it
doesn't really work
for
you.
When it tried to strengthen its ties in America, America pushed back.
There you go. It's not the whole world. But again, that's not said. It's sort of implied, but not said.
Was there another Achashverosh?
Yes. Okay. Xerxes 1 and Xerxes 2. Okay, Ahasuerus, I think.
Oh, is that what
it's called? Xerxes, that's what they think. That's what they think. No, that's the Persian, I think, or whatever. Okay, there was another Ahasuerus. I think it was before. His grandfather, maybe? I don't remember exactly. I'm specifically not giving you a whole class in history. I could, but I'm specifically not, because it would bog us down. But Yamim Ahim, in those days, Kishevet HaMelech Ahasuerus al Kisei Malchuto, Asher B'Shushan Habira, when the king sat on his throne in Shushan, Bishnat Shalosh the Malko, Asham Ishtar the Chol Sarav Avagav. In the third year of his reign, he made a party to all, for all of his ministers and servants. Chel Parasu Madai, the armies of Persia and Media, Hapartanim, the nobles, the Sharei Amedinot the Fanav, and the ministers before him. Okay, I already have a question. Can somebody tell me what my question is from Sukkim Bet and Gimel?
Why after 3 years?
Why?
If he's king, why after 3 years? What happened the first 3 years? Why not?
Why what?
Why do you have a party after 3 years?
Oh, well, there are two questions.
Okay.
The first question is, what's the party for?
And why in the third year?
What?
This is 70 years. He thought
it was up. Oh, we'll see the Midrash. That's what the Midrash says. I'm going to show you the Midrash reads all of this whole chapter in a very directed way. That is the Midrash, but objectively, let's say forget the Midrash. That's the underlying reason. What does he think? What was his reason when he invited all the people to a party? He said, "Come to my party," and they said, "Party? What for? What? What was the party for?" Maybe it was his birthday. Okay. Hold on a second. Wait one second.
Is that an answer?
Not this part. One second. Ashamishter. This is the Midrash Abba Gurion. Lama Ashamishter. Why is it a party? Yesh Omrim. Some say, Mechuzot Amdu Alav V'Kivshum. That there was a rebellion that arose against them, and he overcame them. Yesh Omrim Yom Gimusha Shalohayan. Some say it was his birthday. There she go. Very good. Okay. It's funny that you mentioned that. Very good. Okay. It could be. I mean, it seems to me, look at the details of the party. What do the details of the party tell you?
He's trying to, like, show off to boast. No, look how good I have.
Sometimes the people you invite will tell you a lot about the nature of the party.
He's inviting all of the generals, all the rulers, all the governors of the 137 provinces.
127, right.
127.
Right.
And maybe it was to network. To network with all of these ministers, all these rulers, all these high-placed officials, to get them to come together and to show unity and to show, hey, I'm still the boss. Yeah. You may be the boss over there, but I'm still the boss.
Very interesting. Okay, I agree.
Maybe
I think it's
established after.
It is very interesting. What's one of the largest problems of creating a country of 127 countries?
Everybody's different.
Right. It's totally artificial. I conquer you, but you still retain your own economy.
It wasn't the whole thing that you just pay me taxes.
Right. Basically, right. You pay me taxes, make me rich, and I'll whatever. I'll control you. Mm-hmm. Correct. So one gets a sense. I've heard different stuff. I want to go in a different direction than things that I've heard and suggest. It seems to me. He's inviting the army, like the whole army. He's inviting the nobles. He's inviting the princes. The reason he invites them together is not to network, but almost in a sense to project his power. Right? What's the purpose of inviting people to a great party and having them stay with you for 6 months? Right? And you're treating them literally like royalty. Dalit. The haroto et osher kavod malchuto. He's showing them the wealth of the honor of his kingdom. The etikar tiferet yudulato. Right? And how should we say this? The riches of his glorious kingdom and the splendor of his excellent majesty. Yamim rabim shmonim u'ma'at yom. 180 days. Half a year they had this party.
Why was it that time? Why was it just that period?
Why was it in the third year of his reign?
No, why is it listed that it's 180 days?
Because it took 180 days.
It was some party.
It was some party. What is the idea? What do you do for 180 days? What's the purpose of having a party for 180 days? Eddie's thinking about it.
You can think that much time to meet everyone.
You learn something from them. You learn from them. They learn from you.
You're so 21st century. It's so beautiful. It's so nice. He can keep an eye on them. But also, when you're... you get a sense of the power is being projected to you and how great the king is and how awesome he is. And the army is there and the strength is there. So you come away. How does this noble come away from this party other than being exceedingly drunk?
Would he also possibly be fearful?
Impressed, fearful, in awe.
Yeah.
How else do you project your power? You have these people, and they're going to be your representatives, and you want them to see the army, you want them to see the splendor, you want them to feel the grand, the grandeur of the event.
You don't want them to rebel against
what?
Because seeing such a big army and everything else, you don't want them to rebel against
it's all of the above. It seems like it would be all of the above. Now, we missed an interesting question from Pasuk Bet. Interesting question. Bishnat Shala Bayami Mahim Kishavet HaMelech Achashverosh Al Kishay Malchuto.
Why did he do it immediately?
Do what?
To have a party immediately.
You missed it. No, the party I can understand. It could take 3 years to put together that party. Let's be honest. As soon as he becomes king, it takes time to conquer. Look, he became. This is for Evan and Zoya. So I'm not going to tell you the exact details of the story, but I heard of a family that needed to make a change in the invitation because there was a mistake. The problem was they had ordered this special paper that you can only buy from somewhere in Michigan. And it was such a heavy paper that it wouldn't go through a regular printing machine, so it had to be mounted hand-stamped. So I'm sure the king did the same thing, but don't do that for your wedding. You could photocopy it on the paper and it'd be fine.
Who took care of the 127 provinces if the Balabatim were gone at the party?
I'm wondering the same thing when I go on vacation tomorrow. It's an excellent question. We'll find out.
But you won't be gone
180
days.
I'm okay.
That's the difference.
No, it's not. That's a big deal. You know, these are... Okay. By the way, who becomes a noble and who becomes a prince? Who becomes a... I mean, you're thinking today's day and age. You think networking. Who becomes a noble? When Ahasuerus becomes the king, who becomes his noble?
His posse.
You got it, right? His posse, the one who becomes his friends. So he's bringing in all, meaning if you used to be a noble under the old king, under the old regime, under the Babylonians, see you later, right? You're not there anymore.
And with good reason, too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
He wasn't supposed to be king.
Correct. Okay, but you missed an important question.
So
it says...
all his friends?
Oh, yeah. And if they weren't before, they are now.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. What? They better be. And you know what? And if they're not, they won't be his enemies for long. You know, you're forgetting, it is a brutal time. It's kill or be killed, right? You know, and you have to be aware of that. And they, you know, and we'll see later on the whole kill and be killed attitude of Ahasuerus and how paranoia kind of sets in.
Did it take time to establish
that? What do you mean? The amazing thing is that it only took 3 years. But what's interesting is that it says the party being 3 years in 3 years in the reign, it's not a big deal. In fact, we're going to learn about how long did it take David to concretize his rule over his kingdom. Anybody know?
Longer.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Longer.
It says that David ruled in Hebron for 7 years, and then he went to Yerushalayim only after 7 years. And so you think that David became the king. We're all ready. Become the king. Chick chock.
Yeah,
no, not so clear. Didn't happen that way. So 3 years is very impressive. Mm-hmm. Okay? So why did he take him though? It says, Kishevet HaMelech Achashverosh Al Kisei Malchuto. When the king wanted to sit on his throne. So I can understand it takes him 3 years to have a party. Why does it take him 3 years to sit on his throne?
Why do
you say
wanted to sit? He just said he's sitting.
Kishevet. By Yamim in those days.
Kishevet. As he's sitting. No, that's how I was.
As he sat on
right.
his throne.
So it's not he wanted to. It's not something new. It's he's sitting.
No. Kishevet as he sat. Bishnat shalosh lemapo. The implication being that until this point,
he
was not sitting on his throne. So we'll start with the midrash here. Take out your sheet.
Take parts back together someone else.
Ah, very good. 1 second.
I remember that from somewhere.
I think I gave you the sheet on this.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Well, no sheet for you. I have to read it for you. Hold on a second. Sorry. No sheet for you.
To build the thing, but did it work?
A second. Okay. Here we are. Okay. So the first Midrash says, oh, I'm sorry. First Midrash, yeah, take this sheet. Look at the Gemara Megillah. But Yaminim, why did it take to the third year? Kishevet HaMelech, Uksiv Batrei, and it says afterwards, Bishnat Shalosh B'malko. And the third, see on the Gemara?
Yeah.
The third year to his reign. Amar Rava, my Kishevet, what does it mean, Kishevet, when he said? La'achar shinit yashva da'ato. He calmed down. Why did he calm down? Amar, he said, Belshazzar chasav v'ta'a. Belshazzar, my predecessor, he made a calculation and he erred. Ana chasivna v'lo ta'ina. I'm calculating and I'm not going to make a mistake. My he? Excuse me, what calculation? Dichtiv, as it is written, Ki lefim le'os le'bavel shivim shana efkor etchem. God in Yirmiyahu promises 70 years after the first destruction of the temple that God would redeem the Jewish people. Uktiv le'malot echarvot Yerushalayim shivim shana. Okay? How long will it take? 70 years after the destruction of Yerushalayim. Chashov arvayin v'chameish to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, was 45 years. Esim utlash to Evil Merodach. Evil Merodach was the name of another king. That 23 plus 45 is 68. The Tarte Didei, and two of his, he's just starting the third year, Hashivim. So he got to 70. Then what the Gemara says. Apek ma'ane debe mikdasha v'ishtamesh behu. He took out the ma'ane debe mikdasha. Ma'ane means the utensils, the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and he used them. So why could he finally rest on the third year? Because he thought the 70 years were up, the prophecy was incorrect, and he could go ahead and not worry. Yes. So,
did he miscalculate?
Yeah, he miscalculated. They were calculating based on the wrong information.
Why would they?
He was calculating, I think, the time, the reign of Nebuchadnezzar as opposed to the destruction of the temple.
Why would the state or Israel at that time be so important?
Well,
you had Egypt, you had all the other countries that he wasn't. I mean, he said because of the Jewish state not being there, he's.
See, it's interesting that you ask that. Now, at face value, you say, yeah, he's got a lot of things to worry about. He's got 127 countries. Why would the Jewish God be so important? Well, let's also remember, there's a story about Belshazzar. Belshazzar, you ever heard of the writing, handwriting on the wall?
Yeah.
Right, you know where that's from, handwriting on the wall?
What is that?
From the book of Daniel. This guy has a dream, this king has a dream, and basically it says that you're going to die. And what happened?
He died.
Right, so let's not minimize the Jewish God thing, because the Jewish God thing is clearly very important and has a lot of power, and they all know it. But aside from that, I'll ask you the question the other way. Okay, you say to me, you know, why are you so important? There's like 127 countries. He's got a lot of things to worry about. He's got a golf game to worry about. Who cares, right? Why does he care enough to destroy them?
He didn't care. He gave them away when he was here. That's yours. I mean,
we're going to see about that too. But, meaning, if people don't care about the Jews, it's so interesting that everybody says, who are the Jews? Nobody cares about the Jews. What's the big deal about the Jews?
About
and then they all talk about the Jews, right? You know, why is it that there's always every single day an article in the New York Times about Israel? Every single day. Why? You know, is there an article about Slovenia every day? How many people live in Slovenia?
A lot more
than in Israel. Well, who cares? Nobody cares. The answer is they care about the Jews. So, it's a why?
Hate.
What?
Let's put the word hate.
Okay, now also remember that Chazal, the rabbis, are interpreting Ahasuerus' behavior in a certain way. That they're interpreting it in a certain way for a certain purpose. Okay, and remember this is after the Chorban. Now it's so interesting that you say this because Ahasuerus' son or grandson, Koresh, grandson, did give permission for them to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So it's so interesting, they don't care, but, okay, build the temple. You know, why would a guy who's a Zoroastrian pagan go ahead and allow them to build a temple to an unknown, unseen god? Huh? Okay. So that is the midrash. There was another midrash about the throne. Anybody else heard their midrash about the throne? The midrash says the following, that really what the observers wanted was the throne of Shlomo. Right, let me see. Maybe I did give you that midrash. One second. Did I? No. I don't know why not. Okay. One second. I didn't give it to you. Okay. Midrash says, no, I found it. B'shar shebikes achashver v'shev al kisei Shlomo. He wanted to sit on not his chair. He wanted to sit on the chair of Shlomo HaMelech. Now, remember, the Navi, which we didn't learn, and we're not going to learn for a while, in Malachim says that Shlomo HaMelech built himself a heck of a throne. There were like lions on the sides and tigers and bears. Oh my, okay. So the Midrash talks about how the throne of Shlomo was like musical chairs. First Sancheriv took it, and then it got it to Egypt, and then it got taken to Babylonia, etc., etc. Okay? So he took it to Madai, okay? But he was not able to sit in it. You're not allowed to sit in it for one simple reason. Why are you not allowed to sit in it? They said, because the Midrash says, one second, Ba'alei Sheva Shlomo B'lo Hinichulu. Why? Amru Lo. Kol melech she'eno koz mikartor ba'olam. If you don't rule the whole world, eino yosef alav. You don't sit on that chair. So what did he do? Amar v'asalo kishen yisalo kidmuto. So he said, well, if I can't sit on that chair, I want one just like it. A cheap knockoff made in China.
Right.
And it took 3 years. And it took 3 years to make. Okay.
Two years
to make, right? So in the third year. Right. But it's but remember, it's like this thorn in his side. Remember, he said he's the king of 127 countries.
And he still didn't have a chair.
Can't have a, and he still can't sit in that chair. You know, and what's it's an amazing thing about people in power. What's the most amazing thing about them?
The more they have, the more they want.
They want more, right? It's just, you can just see that Ahasuerus says, I want to sit in that chair. Give me my country. I want one more country. Except, he never gets his last country. Yeah. Okay. So that's the first party. Okay? The first party, the 3 years, according to the Midrash, 3 years, why? Because he thought that the God of the Jews had abandoned them. Or 3 years in because it took him that long to build the throne. I don't know, very strange. But we're saying overall that the purpose of the party was to bring the people together. In order, in a sense, to project his power. Right? Ahasuerus is very into projecting his power.
And was this the beginning of his reign? Is that what?
No. This is the third year of his reign. Okay. Third year of his reign.
Show off his new chair.
Show off his new chair. I know a lot of guys will do that, though. Come to my Super Bowl party. What? We haven't met Haman.
We haven't met him. So
no.
He's still smart.
Ahasuerus?
Yeah, he still can make up his own mind.
We will see. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Oh, we have to keep moving. We got to keep moving. When the time was done, when those days were done. I bet you there were ice sculptures there. Yeah, okay. Asah HaMelech. I wonder if they made sculptures out of chopped liver. I've seen those too. V'chol ha'am hanin ze'in sam. So the king made for the nation that was there. B'shushan ha'birad. B'gadol v'ad katan mishteh shivat yamin. From old to young. Everyone, 7 days. B'chachar ginat bitan ha'melech. In the garden of the palace of the king. That's unusual. Let's see a little bit more about the party. Chur, karpash, utachevet. Chur is the hangings of white, fine cotton and blue wool. Achuz bechav lebutz v'argaman al gulu lekesef amudei sheish. Held with cords of fine linen and purple wool upon silver rods and marble pillars. Mitot za'av v'chesef al yitzpat b'hat v'sheish v'dav v'safaret. The couches of fine gold on a pavement of green and white and shells and onyx marble. V'ashkot b'chlei za'av they were drinking out of gold cups, the kelim, the kelim, kelim shonim. And they were unusual, meaning, literally what this means is, and literal understanding means, everybody got a different cup, which is significant. Meaning they didn't make a set, everybody got their own.
Why does it have a large cup?
Chur?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a Mesorah. The Mesorah is, this is how it has to be written. If you look in the Megillah, my son asked me that. I was learning Megillah yesterday with him this Sunday. And he asked me that question. Why is it a big chet? So I showed him, in the Megillah, there's a big chet.
See, I'm the smartest of son.
He should be so smart. Okay. But now, by the way, anybody who learns here, how do we read the Chelim, Yichelim, Shonim?
No.
Anybody know? Right, so in the tribe, you say, the Hashkot, the Chelizah, the Chelim, Michelim Shonim. All of a sudden you switch to? Echatrap. Why? What is that? Right, Chelim, Michelim Shonim. It's Mordechai's way, it's a code for, again, Chelim of the Beis Hamikdash. So again, this is the second mention of the Beis Hamikdash in the Midrash. There are probably 50 of them in this chapter, if I find Midrashim about it, okay? The Yein Malchus Rav Kiyad HaMelech. Right? The Yein Malchus, enough wine for everyone. Rashtiyach Hadash Ein Onesh. Drinking was according to the law without coercion. What does that mean without coercion?
Nobody had to force them to drink.
Well, nobody had to force them to drink. When's the last time that anybody forced you to drink? Oh, I'm sorry, this past Shabbos. Oh, I'm not to say. Yeah, okay, I'm glad. Yeah, that you can drink. So, what does it mean? The Midrash says that in Madai, the rule was that you had this the drink master, as it were. And when he came to you and gave you, he gave you the cup, you had to chug the whole thing. And so they would basically, for some reason, they would make you drink until you passed out, and then they would rob you or whatever. I don't know. They'd make you drink too much. And he was insulting. So the king said, this time, Shiach Hadash Ein Ones, drink whatever you want. There was no coercion.
Differently, that the Jews, since they don't drink with Goyim, and here they, were forced to drink over here, they didn't.
They were forced to drink? What do you see anything about the Jews? What do you see anything about the Jews? What do you see anything about the Jews? Did anybody say, one second, why are you bringing up the Jews?
Because I'm figuring the Chazal has so many things on drinking of wine, and I know the Jews don't, as a normal rule, drink with wine with thing. I say the
Chazal is something. That's right, I don't know. Vashtiyah Chadash Ein Ones. Nobody was being forced. Ki chen yishad hamelech al kol rav beito la'ashos kirtzon ish va'ish. Because the king said, anybody can do whatever they want. Now, I have a question for you. The first party, let's assume we're right. We know what the reason for the first party is. What in the world is the reason for the second party?
Where's the second party?
This is the second
party.
After the 100 days of the mother.
180 days, right? You have a 7-day party. The first,
all those people felt left out. They needed.
Oh, poor people, right?
Really,
what does the king care? Oh, the people in the city, right. Right. Well, I'm sorry, when George Bush inaugurated himself, he invited all of the residents of Southeast D.C. to come and hang out in the White House, right?
As
long as they have money.
Ah, but that's not what it says. What kind of, what's the reason for that party?
It's again just to show. It's a showing off party.
What's unique? What do you see? What's interesting that strikes you about that party, that second party? A number of times, a certain theme comes out.
Drinking.
Well, I mean, aside from that, the drinking is a common theme throughout the entire.
Very fancy.
Fancy. It's very fancy. Okay.
Hailing.
Well, that's part of the fancy.
Okay.
What else is interesting that you would think would be unexpected in the king's palace?
Everyone,
where it was.
Well, first of all, everyone's invited. What is very unusual, and so unusual as to be unheard of. Doesn't make any sense. Why everyone invited? What else?
Where it was held.
Well, it was in his garden. Where else are you going to hold it? I guess right.
He could fit everyone from the city in his garden.
Well, it wasn't, I mean, you're thinking, okay, maybe. I mean, he probably, when he built the city,
open
if Shushan was
policy.
Open door, what?
Open door.
Open door, right.
Just come and go as you please.
Twice it says the following.
How do you know
it says, Vashiyah Kadash Ein Ones. Okay? What does that mean, enonesh?
No punishment.
No coercion. In the kingdom of Ahasuerus, in the kingdom of any king, when you entered the palace of the king, what kind of autonomy did you have in the palace of the king? None. Absolutely nothing. You did what the king wanted. You did it when he wanted to. And think a little bit in the future. What happens when you're in the palace of the king? When you're in the presence of the king, what was the rule going to be?
He did what the king wanted.
If he stretched out his scepter to you, and if he did it, you died. And now we're learning, in the king's palace, do what you want. Lashos, very interesting, kirtson ish va'ish. See those words? Lashos, you get what you want. I'm pointing it out. I have an idea of what to do with it, but I'm not entirely sure. It's unusual. It's so unusual that it screams out and says it doesn't belong. No king lets you do whatever you want in his palace. So why did Ahasuerus, why was it important that he did that for the inhabitants of his city?
He was drunk after 100
years. He was drunk.
No, what he was saying.
Yeah.
One of the directions you said brought down that he just put down a rebellion.
Yeah.
Was that in Shushan?
No, that was unclear.
Like to satisfy the people, like to say I'm not a bad guy.
To win over the people. Exactly. Okay, so it's interesting that you would say that. That it's clear, it would seem to me, that when you would do things like that, it would be to win over people. You know, somehow push with the right and bring forward with the left. That in a sense, so the way I was thinking about it, right, it's you can project your power in one of two ways. You project your power on the one hand by intimidating people, and then what's the other way to project your power? By empowering them. Right, that by binding them up in a sense. Okay, I'm not entirely sure. Maybe you're right. Maybe it was all about buttering up the people who lived in his city, because that's really who he had to worry about. And who's the most immediate threat to him? Some foreign army he can defend against. But he can't defend against the people that are living right on top of him. So maybe it's a better than that. I'm not sure. Okay. Pass the test. Gam Vashti HaMalka Asam Ishten Nashim Beit HaMalchut Asher Lamech Achashverosh. Vashti the queen also made a party. Okay. Does that seem interesting to anybody?
Yeah, why would she have her own party?
Why would she have her own party?
Because she's the real...
Tell me what the midrash says, Bradley.
She.
I think you have a midrash for.
Well.
1 second. Yeah.
He married her.
Yeah.
To become king, she was actually the princess.
Oh.
She's supposed to have power.
The midrash says that she was the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Right. So it's interesting. What's the purpose of him? What's the purpose of him throwing this party?
Get her to come.
No. In the beginning.
So
what? Say it again, Milton?
So that he's in charge.
Good. And what happens?
He's not in charge at all.
And what does his wife do?
She
throws her own party. Right. Get ready, Evan. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. What?
The same thing now in Saudi Arabia. I mean, the men and women don't
mix. Nothing. Okay. What?
In Saudi Arabia, the men and women don't mix. They get their own party. So this would be the same thing.
No, but there's a big... So she's having her own party. Right away, where is she having it?
In the king's house.
Beit HaMalchut. Asher Lamech Achashverosh. He's not having it in her house.
Or their house.
Or their house.
Yeah, but he's throwing this party in...
In the garden. He's in the garden.
I want her house. And what's wrong?
Today, nothing.
No, okay.
Sorry.
So who was at her party?
So the women. The women. Also, I don't think that the king thought that the women should have a party in the first place.
Otherwise, there wouldn't have been.
So the Chol Ha'am does not include the women?
Of course not. Are you kidding? No.
That's understood.
Yes, I think that's
yeah,
yes. Right. What, you think there were any noble women?
I guess I'm saying...
Yeah, I didn't think this is not. I thought these were commoners. These are anyone who's in the city.
Okay, fine.
Right?
Yeah, not women. Okay.
They don't
count. On the seventh day, when the king was, his heart was good with wine, when he was 7 days drunk, which is... 187 days drunk, which is kind of hard to imagine, really, but... Right, okay. אמר למהומן ביצחר בנה ביתה בארבתה זיתה בקרקש שבעת השרישים the seven, what are שרישים? They're not chamberlains. What's a Swiss?
Wow.
What? No, what is a Swiss? Yeah, correct. A eunuch, the seven eunuchs, right? Why did King surround himself with eunuchs?
They won't be messing with his wife.
Well, his wife and him. It takes away a certain, how should we say this? Okay. They said, I think a few years ago there was an article about how the last eunuch from the Japanese emperor died. And the people would, they would readily submit themselves to this because it ensured you a good life. You know, you got to live in the king's palace and you were a servant and it was pretty good. Unless, of course, they killed him and then they would kill you along with him, but whatever. Okay. So he said to them, HaMashartim et Tmei HaMelech Chashverosh, LaHaviyad Vashi HaMalkal Lifnei HaMelech Bechete Malchut. Bring the queen in the crown of glory. Now, in the crown of glory, what does the Midrash say? In the crown of glory. Right, that was it.
In all of her beauty.
Correct, in all of her beauty. Harot Ha'amim V'Hasharim Et Yofya Ki Tovat. Everybody should see exactly how beautiful because she was beautiful. V'atima'ein HaMalkal V'Ashti Lavo B'Dvar HaMelech Asher B'Yad HaShavisim. She said, no way. V'yikitzof HaMelech Ma'od V'Chamato B'Arabo. The king became very incensed and his anger burned in him. Why didn't Vashti come?
I'm the one with royalty, and you're telling me to come.
Look at the midrash. The midrash says, and there are a number of the midrashim. Some of the midrashim say that she was menstruating, so she was embarrassed to come. Some of the midrashim say, it's very interesting, one very famous midrash, right, that Gavriel came and she gave her a tail.
And so she was embarrassed.
She was embarrassed
to come. You mean to say, if everything would have been A-okay, if she really would have been in tip-top condition, she would have appeared just in the crown of glory?
Kuvman, Midrash. Matimayin al Kavasi. Michdei, let's see. Pre-tsusa havai. She was, what's the English word? She was permissive. Meaning, she didn't care about, you know.
Exhibition.
Correct, very well said. Amar Mar, Shnehim Ledvar Averin Iskavnu. So they were both her and Ahasuerus were, bring her on, and meaning in the middle of the seventh day of the party, it wasn't just
a strange request.
Correct. It wasn't just to see her in her beauty. Let's run the party up to the next match, as it were. Okay. And just think of 1970s or not the 60s more mainly. Okay. My time will go outside. So why didn't she come? Amar Rav Yossi bar Chanina and Malami Shekarcha bar Tzaras. The Masnisa Tanya Ba Gavriel in the Masnisa, in the Mishnah, says Gavriel came to Asala Zanav, made her a tail. Vashti had a tail. You know, whenever we were growing up, if you wanted to dress as Vashti, you had to put on a tail. What does that mean? What are these midrash trying to tell you?
Divine intervention.
Ah, very good. That this is all part of God's plan. That it didn't just happen. It isn't just there. It isn't just, you know, what? Isn't it coincidence? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan.
You can say that a lot of money.
What?
You can say that a lot of money.
That God has a plan?
Yeah.
Gee, shock of shock. Okay. You got, Eddie, you coming back? You going?
Yeah,
I want to ask you something. Okay. Vayomer HaMelech LaChachamim Yodei HaItim. So his king said to the Chachamim, Yodei HaItim, who knew the times. Very interesting. Yichein V'HaMelech Meikol Yodei Dat V'Din, because the king had to consult. I don't know why the Midrash gives you all, why the Megillah gives you all their names. I'm not sure. The seven highest ranking officers. What should you do? So Mimuchan types up and says, Lo al Melech Levato Avta Vashti Amalka. He didn't just sin against you. Ki al kol ha'shalmim v'kol ha'amim asher v'chol nevei Melech Hashverosh. She sinned against all of us, all nations and all ministers. Why? Ki yetzei dvar ha'malka al kol ha'nashim l'avzot ba'aleihem be'enehem. They're going to denigrate their husbands in their eyes. Be'amram, when they say ha'melech achashverosh amar la'avi et vashti ha'malka v'fanev lo bara. Honey, where's my dinner? You're no king, and I ain't coming for you. Okay. These women of Persia and Media, they will be much content and rest. So he should say the following. She didn't come before the king. So, her kingdom will be given to someone better than she. Okay. The king's decree, which he said will come, shall be resigned throughout the kingdom, great that would be. And all of the women will give honor from young to old. Now, by the way, is that true? Is that true? What? Okay. Good job, they did it. It says that a number of times. You should not just overlook that. Each nation in its language and its writing. Each measured rule in his own home. To speak the language of his own people. Now, what's going on? What are some of the things underlying? So we started by asking, what's the purpose of the parties? The purpose of the parties is to project power. In a sense, for Ahasuerus to tell all these people in this new kingdom, in this huge monarchy that's literally the world, stands the world as they know it, except for one, I'm in control. But everything about, almost everything about the Perek tells us, what's that? That he's not in control.
Vashti is the
one. Oh, it's not just Vashti. How many ways is he not in control? One, first of all.
He makes
a party to show how great he is and to show off his riches and his splendor. And what happens? His wife makes a party in his house. So, how'd you say it? He's in the doghouse. Okay, right? He tells his wife to come. He sends edicts demanding control. Right? I'm going to be controlling my own household. When does he send out the edict?
After his guys come.
Well, that's one. First of all, he's not allowed. But look what it says. It says interesting. Okay. Plus Pasuk Yud Gimel. Mayomer Hamelech leChachamim Yodei Ha'itim. And he said to the experts, Ki chein Dvar Hamelech Yivnei Kol Yodei Dat Vadin. For such was the king's procedure to turn to all who knew the law and judgment. Why does he turn to them?
Because he doesn't have a father.
No, because he has to.
That's the way it is.
That's the way it's done. Right? He's in control, except of course when he has to deal with his own wife, in which case he has to ask the judges. Okay. Moreover, when does he make these big pronouncements and these important edicts? He's in control. So when does he make the important decisions? I'm not in control. Okay. Hey, have you ever noticed that the cell phones control us more than we control them? Yeah, why?
When it's a show, when it's really something.
When does he make the decision? What is his state of mind?
He's drunk.
He's drunk as a skunk. So I'm in control. I'm telling you, I'm kidding. He's going to lose it with me. Good job. Good decision. And how do I know? How do I know that I'm right? How do you know that I'm right? What happens as soon as he sobers up?
He realizes.
Next chapter, what does it say? One second. Just look at the next pasuk. Acharad varim ha'el, kishoch chamat ha'melech ha'sferosh. Zachar. Zachar v'ashi v'ed asher ha'shata. And what does he do? Oh, God.
Crashing down.
Oh, I remember now.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Where's my wife?
Which part of her?
She's stuck in a tree.
With her tail.
Yeah.
So who's
really in control?
Vashti.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting to note that Vilna Gaon says in his papyrus, the Vilna Gaon writes that in reality the king does not want her to be killed. So he's trying to like finagle his way, like, oh, no, no, it has to be so severe, blah, blah. In fact, there is no record that she's killed. The mitzvah says that she is, but there's no record of what happens to her. She loses her throne. We don't really know what happens to her. So it's all about control, and the whole chapter is teaching you that the king of control is totally out of control. He controls nothing. He doesn't control his family, doesn't control his wife, doesn't control his own kingdom. Even though he thinks that he does. And what's the greatest irony? You know what they say. When they say, with all due respect, what does it mean? Steve, with all due respect, right, what does that mean?
You're wrong.
You don't, there is no respect. Or, this is my favorite. Dora, I don't mean to insult you, but I have to tell you something. Yeah, right.
My daughter always
says,
right.
No offense. I hope you don't take this in the wrong way. Yeah. So what does it say? Lios kol ish sorer bebeito umedaber kileshon amo. Ah! Each man should be in control. Look at the page 2 of the Midrashim. Lios kol ish sorer bebeito. Amar Rabba, says Rabba, Ilmalei igrot harishonot, this is the Gemara, Ilmalei igrot harishonot, were not for these first letters, lo nistayer misonam shel Yisrael sarid upalit, the Jews would have been utterly wiped out, were not for the first letters. Why? Amre, they say, I'm skipping the parentheses, Mai hai deshadirlan, what now did he send us? Okay. Lios kol ish sarer beito, each person should be in charge of his own family. Pshita! That's obvious. Afilu kalcha bebeite. Okay? Yeah, the smallest guy is in control of his own house. Meaning, what happened? So they sent out, he sent out these letters. And the people went and said, oh, what did the great King Ahasuerus send to us? He sent to us that when you get up in the morning, you stand up. So you know what they all said? My king is an idiot. Right, he's a moron. That's what he said. They said,
what is pshita?
Pshita means it's obvious. Okay? Right? It's pshita. It's obvious. Meaning, if the king is that dumb, so what happened? What was the next set of letters that came out in this recorded in Megillah?
The ones about defending yourself.
The next set of letters from the king.
About the new queen.
No. The next set of letters from the king said that on the 15th day of, that on the 14th day of Nisan, you will have permission to destroy the Jewish people. But here's the problem. After the first set of letters, they didn't know if this moron king meant what he said or not. See, because if they knew, that's what he says. He was an idiot, he was a moron. Then no Jews would be left. Why? Because as soon as those letters went out that said you have the right to kill Jews, bam, they would have done it right away. They wouldn't have waited. They didn't know. They said, really? I mean, come on. We all know the guy's an idiot. So they waited. So if it wasn't for that first set of letters. So then he sent out this letter that I'm in control, and what did the letter do? It did exactly the opposite. Each person should be in control. Okay. We'll be okay from here. Just keep yourself over there, Shushan, and everything will be all right. You know? Well, what do you do, you know, when you find out that the person who's in charge of you has got dumb luck? You know? He really is a moron. It seems that Ahasuerus was that way. Right? The Gemara has a machlokas. Was Ahasuerus an evil man or just an idiot? Right, so that's a machlokas. We're not really sure.
Look at this whole Vashti thing. It's like, going to lose your power that you don't do what I say, he even gets rid of his wife. You know, the thing that he loves the most. You could look at it from that term of, gee whiz, if I were to cross the king and I'm a stranger, what was he going to do to me?
Correct, but that's good.
The wife.
Right, but the fact that he added in the last part,
yeah,
and because I'm in charge of my household,
yeah,
you should be in charge of your household. Shkoyach. Thanks, I appreciate that. Now, what about the Jews? It's interesting, if this whole party is about projecting his power, they didn't mention anything about the Jews. What about the Jews? Where were the Jews?
Isn't there a Midrash where you even had kosher food for the Jews as whole separate?
So interesting that you say that.
Okay? But it's the opposite.
So interesting that you say that. Did you ever see a Midrash like that? I did not see a Midrash like that.
The opposite.
Remember Wild told a Midrash like that?
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me. Mary, look at the Midrash. Now look at the first page. This is from a book called American Judaism that I'm reading by Jonathan D. Sarno. Just very fascinating. It's about the history of... What? What's that? It's about the history of Judaism in America. Not Jewish history of Judaism. A gala parade marking the ratification of the Constitution held in Philadelphia on July 4, 1788, celebrated this achievement. It presented, marching together in one division, the clergy of the different Christian denominations with the rabbi of the Jews, probably Jacob J. R. Cohen, walking arm in arm. The famed physician, Dr. Benjamin Rush, who witnessed the most unprecedented spectacle, wrote that this first ever ecumenical parade was a most delightful sight. There could not have been a more happy emblem contrived of that selection of section of the new Constitution, which opens all its powers and offices alike, not only to every sect of Christians, but to all worthy men of every religion. Now, you can't, you know, when you read, you have to understand that the history of the time, Jews were second-class status in Europe, in the West Indies, throughout the country. To have the idea that a Christian minister would walk hand-in-hand with a Jew, with a rabbi, as equals, was literally, it was beyond their wildest imagination. They were sure that it was the time of the Mashiach. They were. They thought that it was Igvah the Mashiach. They might not have been wrong. Okay. Though it apparently escaped his notice, when the ceremony concluded, Jews ate separately at a special kosher table prepared on their behalf. Reflecting English custom, the public expression of Jewish ritual behavior, even one assumes on the part of those who were not always so scrupulous, meaning, it's so interesting, in public they kept kosher. But for themselves, when they went out, they didn't keep kosher, mostly. Effectively defined the boundaries of interreligious relations from the synagogue community's official perspective. Much as Jewish leaders rejoiced at the equal footing that brought them politically into step with Christians under the banner of the Constitution, they exercised their right to eat apart, following the precepts of their faith, formulated to help preserve Jews as a group. Very, very interesting. It's interesting they said that the Jews ate separately. Listen to the Midrash that I have. Next page. Ayin, l'chol ha'am anim tzi'im b'shushan ha'bira. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Says Abizu Nafcha. Hamon ha'rasha ba'alila gedola va'al Yisrael. Haman, he had an idea, had a plan. Hu ha'dava, that's what it means, u'b'lamot, ha'yamim ha'ila asha ha'melech l'chol ha'am anim tzi'im b'shushan ha'bira. Why did the king make the party, the second party? V'hein ha'am ha'morkan ele Yisrael. Who did he make the party for? Including? The Jews. Hu adavar, that's what it says, Ashrecha Yisrael mi kamocha am nosha b'Hashem. They're am. Am is the Jewish people. Am ha'am ha'chashverosh. Said Haman. Elohehem shel elu sonet zima. Their God hates immorality. Haman lehem zonos. Hire some hookers. V'asha lehem mishte. And make a party. V'gezar alehem shiyavo kula miyochlu v'yishtu. And decree that they all should come and they should eat and drink. V'yashu kirtzonam. Do whatever you want. Shenemar v'asos kirtzon ish v'ish. Kevan shirah Mordechai kach. Mordechai saw this. Amar hichiz v'amar lehem. He said to them, Lo telchu le'achol b'sudasos shalachas v'eros. Don't go. So lo hizmin eschem ki'im l'lamed etchem kategoria. He invited you to indict you, to make you less Jewish. So that he'll be able to say he'll have a reason to destroy us. To prosecute you, before God. Says the Midrash, they didn't listen. Why did they, and they went to the party. Why didn't they listen? Why did they go to the party? Why did they go to that party? What's that?
The in thing to do.
Come on, these are traditional Jews. The in thing to go to the king's party. The question is, who's in control? Who did the Jews think was in control?
Ahasuerus, they figured, must be the one that's in control.
If Ahasuerus made his calculations, you think the Jews also didn't make their calculations? When they decide to go to a party like that, as opposed to the Jews of 1776, 1778, as opposed to that, if the Jews go to the party of Ahasuerus, what they're saying is, if there's a new king of the whole world. We used to believe in the king, our king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But going to that party is saying, you know what? So, there's a new world order. There's a new life, new world. You got new rules. Got to do things in a new way.
Isn't this the very reason
they're being punished? I mean, isn't
next midrash, Tamiches, we'll stop with this. Shalu Tamidas of Shem Bar Yochai. Why did the Jewish people deserve destruction? Amar lahem, imru akem. You tell me. Because they benefited from that meal of that evil person. Come on, it's just one meal. So they ate non-kosher? Come on. What does the party represent? What does the party symbolize? The party symbolizes Ahasuerus is telling the people,
I'm in charge.
And the Jews, you know what they said?
Fine.
Okay. We're in. You know what God said? You're in?
I'm out.
Who's in charge? That's the real question. That's what the Megillah is setting us up for. Who's in charge? And you ask the Jewish people, you know what? You make the decision. You decide who's in charge. Either them or me. But if it's going to be them, then you're at their mercy. Okay, we'll meet next week.